Some REM to start off the 9 o'clock hour of the morning mix, and Losing My Religion. We have a rare person back in the studio. Tom's back.
He is. Oh wow. Yes, I'm back up here, and we're back up here. We're going to be in a little bit. We're going to be discussing a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And before we even get started, I want to bring up one thing, and that is, if you are, and this reads right into this, what we're talking about today, if you are thinking about changing your party affiliation to vote in the primary, you're running out of time, because that window closes on the 30th. If you want to register to vote in the primary, that window closes on the 30th. Please, 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 one of your main obligations after death and taxes in the United States is to become an informed voter and vote. Sitting on the sideline is just not an option.
Or if you've moved and you still
need to
change.
Case, if you've moved and you're in another district and you want to vote in your district, like producer Brandon is here, yeah, that's a very good thing.
We also have a guest in the studio today. I'm kind of having to try and fly the Starship without crashing too much, since Scott's off being busy and Tori's off doing some new stuff as well.
So would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, yeah, guys. Thanks for having me back. My name is Steve Huff, and I'm the director of Florida Fair and Open Primaries Incorporated. We formed a political committee to try to get a top two open primary amendment on the 2020 ballot.
So your committee would alleviate my conundrum coming up here in the next couple of days, because I generally have to change parties to vote in the primary in which I am most interested.
That's right, Tom, and I have the same problem. Like you said at the start, we've got a few days left to make the decision.
You have to look at the primary ballot and kind of scratch your chin and go, okay, I'm voting in this one.
Exactly. And if we had open primaries, we wouldn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I like, Georgia, although we're primarily interested in the top two open primary like they have in California, mm-hmm. and Washington State. I like Georgia. You know, when you register to vote in Georgia, they don't even ask you. There's not even a line item on your registration form to pick a party. Mm-hmm. You just show up on election day and say, I want, you know, the blue ballot or the red ballot.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, something like that would be a great idea, because it does change. And especially in primary seasons, in midterms, these things are a little fluid going into. So, you know, you really end up with a relatively short period of time to actually look at the entire ballot and get your act together.
That's right. You know, at least in Florida, it's not quite as bad as it is in New York. You know, there's the famous story about the couple of the Trump children that didn't realize that they had to change their registrations so far in advance and didn't even get to vote for their father in the New York primary. But there's still, Florida has a lot of room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you should be able to. In a lot of cases, in small southern towns like we live in here, it's more the people that have a lot of effect on your life are local politicians. And you need to have that ability to cross over lines if you have somebody you either really don't like or you have somebody that you really do like. But the people are levying a lot of taxes and making sure the trash is picked up and that kind of thing. These are local politicians. These people have a day-to-day influence on your life. And becoming involved, becoming aware, and being able to support the people you like is relatively important.
It is, and unfortunately, too many people are just not involved. They're not engaged. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much we can do about voter apathy and those that have been become disillusioned for one reason or another. But yeah, part of our mission is also to inform the people about the importance of primaries. There's so many races that something like 84% in 2016 were decided in a primary. You know, there's higher turnout in general elections, but when you stop and think about it, you have to wonder why. Because the decisions, because of, you know, past gerrymandering and, you know, all the safe districts, the general election is not the big show. It's the primary.
Even when a district is safe for one party or the other, the general election really ends up being the primary, because you might have a district you know is going to go for the Democrats, or you know is going to go for the Republicans. But when you're in that district, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you look at that and you say that county commission seat's going to go, or that state rep seat is going to go relatively unopposed after this primary. So you still have a choice in that election. You say, well, I'm not voting in that. I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to vote in a Republican primary. Well, if there's two Republicans running to be your state rep, you might want to go ahead and inform yourself on those people and see the one that is the closest to your liking and vote in that primary.
You hit the nail right on the head there, Tom.
So, and please get out and vote. Yes, yes. I just keep telling everybody until they won't listen to me anymore.
Or until they just...
Yeah, even Brandon and I talk about this a lot off air, but I think even Brandon's getting tired of my begging, groveling for people to get informed. And don't just vote. Get informed and vote. This is your civic duty in the United States. We're a constitutional republic. We vote in our leaders and vote them out. It's your duty not only to register and vote, but get informed. There's lots of ways of getting informed. We're not going to go, you can just listen to your public radio station right here, WKGC 90.7. You'll hear a lot about local races and county commissions and city commissions and all that. Tori Shea keeps us up to date on who's doing what in those things. But get informed, stay informed, and please vote.
Good deal.
Okay, let's...
It's about 17 minutes past 9 o'clock. We're going to get into some Atlanta Rhythm section. And so into you. You're listening to The Morning Mix on your local public radio station, WKGC. So Robert Palmer there, and Addicted to Love. We're actually more addicted to voting right now.
Well, we are. I was just going to mention one thing. You don't need to be going on YouTube and watching these videos, Brandon. You're way too young. Actually, Brandon comes in sometimes and he shaves. And he would get carded buying an ice cream cone.
Yeah, no.
Hold on. That's the purpose of the new beard.
That's the purpose of the new beard, because he at least looks like he's old enough to drive.
Okay, he was clean shaven last time I was here.
No, stop that. That's a Scott thing. We're here with Steve Hugh from Florida Fair and Free Elections, and he's going to describe what they're trying to do right now and how you might want to help if you believe in his particular cause of having open primaries in the state of Florida.
After the CRC failed to advance an open primaries initiative to this year's ballot.
That's the Constitutional Revision Committee. I know you use that all the time, but some people might go, CRC?
Yes, correct. We had a decision to make. We had built quite a base of support during that process, and we had some discussions, and we decided to form the political committee and try to get it on the 2020 ballot as a citizens' initiative. We had actually two petitions approved by the Division of Elections, and we began circulating those about 3 weeks ago. We have quite a little operation ongoing. We have volunteers in 14 counties presently engaged in a couple of different operations. We have people going out to, like, their local libraries and setting up a table. A fellow in Jacksonville, who's our director of outreach, has already collected right at 500 signatures. We have people calling folks that signed an online petition back during the CRC process. We had 10,000 people in Florida sign in support of Commissioner Schiavino's amendment. So we have volunteers calling those people. Most of them provided their phone numbers and email addresses. So we're contacting them to direct them to our website, floridafairandopenprimaries.org. You can click on a petitions page tab there and see all the information. We update weekly the amount of money that we've raised, the amount of petitions we've collected. And then just in the next few days, we're going to start a bulk email campaign. We received, just Tuesday, I received the most recent voter extract from the Division of Elections. We have a director of digital communications that has taken the files. She's written a program to extract first the NPAs that have email addresses which they
you need to define that too. I know what an NPA is, but
party affiliation.
Thank you. That's basically you're independent there.
Yeah, I've been doing this so long.
You speak in shorthand.
Yes, the acronyms. But there's 3.4 million non-affiliated voters in
Florida. Well, that would be more than enough signatures to get you on the ballot.
It would get us on the ballot, but once you know that's just the first step. Once you get it on the ballot, we're 27% of the electorate, and it takes 60% voter approval mm-hmm. to pass. So we're looking at not only NPAs, but rank-and-file Democrats and Republicans that believe that voting is a fundamental right, and if you're registered to vote and you want to vote, you should be able to vote in every single election, mm-hmm. not just a general election.
Very true. And like I say, in some cases, especially in local politics where the national noise doesn't play quite as hard, you will, I do all the time, vote across party lines in general elections because it's the, in a small place, especially in a town like I live in Lynn Haven, you know these people. You've known them for a long time. You walk across party lines all the time. It'd be nice to be able to do that, to be able to support in a primary without running down to the elections office, which, by the way, you have to do by the 30th of this month if you want to register to vote in the primary or change your party affiliation.
Yes, time is running out to make that decision.
Please do that. But yes, it would be nice not to have to do that.
But that's a good point, Tom. Locally, we know, like you said, we know the people. We don't put so much emphasis on their
the R or the D doesn't matter.
We put it on what we know about the person and what they stand for. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great if we could extend that type of attitude to statewide elections and federal elections as well.
Well, I wish you luck on the federal elections. I think R and D is a letter of pride and or shame that everybody wears, unfortunately. I can see it. Certainly in local elections, the philosophical differences in city commissions and county commissions and that sort of thing is nowhere near as severe as it is in national politics.
Yes.
These are just people that are going to give up their time to try to help.
So true. But anyone that is interested in volunteering or getting involved, I thank you for having me on this show today. I'll be writing another letter to the editor here shortly. But go to our website. That's FloridaFairAndOpenPrimaries.org for more information.
Okay, and you're looking for volunteers. You're, of course, looking for, I would think, donations. We can donate on your website?
You can. Actually, we're just asking people that print out our petitions and send them back to us to donate a dollar mm-hmm. to offset the cost of signature verification. If we send in 80,000 petitions, that's going to cost us $8,000. It's mm-hmm. 10 cents per signature.
Okay.
And then there's shipping costs involved mm-hmm. because we have to ship them off to the various county supervisors of elections for verification, in which the original signer resides.
Okay. But now are you looking for people to go and set up a table at a library or in front of a library or something like that and hang up a sign and try to start collecting petitions?
Sure. I would love to have someone do that locally. You'll be seeing me at the local library here in the near future with my table and my sign.
Okay.
If anyone wants to join me, please contact me. You can contact me via the website. We have a contact page there. It comes directly to my email.
Okay.
We'd love to have as much support as possible.
Now, and I can just go to your website and sign your petition. There's a mechanism for that, is there not?
No, there's you don't sign online. Since this is a bona fide citizens initiative, it requires hard copies.
Okay.
So, but you go. There's links to the petitions. You can print them out from the website. Mm-hmm. Sign them. The address to return the petitions is on the petition itself. There's other information. We actually hold weekly statewide conference calls every Sunday evening. There's call-in numbers and access codes on the website. We'd love to have people join our conference calls. You'd be surprised on who might Who shows up on those? Yeah, we have a quite interesting array of people.
I'll bet you do.
Interested in supporting this project statewide.
Well, excellent.
All good things. It's about 36 minutes after 9 o'clock. We got to look at that weather from Ross Whitley. I think it's going to be hot again today.
You think? Brandon is such a weatherman.
We got a final play as well coming up later in the hour. You're listening to The Morning Mix on WKGC. Some Kenny Loggins and Danger Zone. We're in the danger zone of if you're not...
Yeah, if you're not registered yet and you're not going to vote, you're in a danger zone with me, that's for sure. Not my business who you vote for, but you need to do your duty. If you're going to call yourself a citizen of the United States, do your duty. The United States doesn't ask a lot out of citizens, but one of the things that we really, really need to do is vote. Get informed and vote. How you're going to get informed, that's your problem. I would never even attempt to tell somebody, except you. If you listen to WKGC, we'll try to be as straightforward as we possibly can.
And if you really want your vote to count, vote in the primary.
Yes. We discussed that earlier. In some cases, there is only one there's either only a Democrat or only a Republican running. And there won't be, it'll be an uncontested general election. That means that if you're choosing for that position, you have to vote in the primary.
Of course, Florida Fair and Open Primaries. I'm looking on your website right now, and I'm looking at the petitions you have for your top two open primary petition. You have a little over 300 signatures as of the 22nd of July. How many signatures are you looking for exactly?
Well, we're our target date for enough to get it to judicial review, which is 76,200, 10% of the total required to get it on the ballot. Our target date to collect 80,000 signatures, because of course some will be rejected for one reason or another, is the end of the year. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your perspective, there's so much going on right now in the election cycle. People are distracted or engaged in other activities, either campaigns or Amendment 4 or the amendments that the CRC did forward to this year's ballot. So if we don't make it by the end of the year, next spring, but after we really feel like with the base that we're building right now, and once the general election's over in November, then we'll be able to break through a lot of the noise that we have to deal with right now.
So your goal is going to be getting this on the ballot in 2020.
In 2020. That requires 766,200 verified signatures by February of 2020. It's an enormous task.
It is.
But it can be done. It can be done. I've been inspired by this young lady up in Michigan, Katie Fahey. She started with a Facebook post about gerrymandering in Michigan, and they collected in Michigan 425,000 signatures through basically what started out as a grassroots organization. Mm-hmm. And in November of this year, they're going to be voting on whether or not to implement an independent redistricting mm-hmm. commission to deal with gerrymandering. Mm-hmm.
Well, Florida did that several years back. We got about halfway. I would say we got halfway there because we have wording like using natural boundaries and that sort of thing.
Yes, the Fair Districts Amendment that was approved in 2010. Mm-hmm. Ellen Friedan was the driving force behind that, and had a brief email exchange with her. And
yeah. Well, she
wished me good luck.
Okay, it's one of those things. Now there's a judge in Tallahassee seems to be taking our legislature to task once in a while about how they do that yet, but they'll get it straightened out. At least it's a step in the right direction, one should say.
Yes, it is,
because there should be no such thing as a safe district. If you want your district safe, do a good job.
Yeah, a lot of the politicians or former politicians that I speak with, they if you look at the district maps now, they the courts, like I said, the courts finally forced them to figure that out. Except for if you look at District 2, district is still
looks a little strange. Yeah.
But some of the complaints are that even though they're compact and contiguous, mm-hmm. they're still not competitive. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people. Gerrymandering is not my issue per se, but there's a lot of theories about how we can make those districts more competitive.
Yeah, there is. And it's just one of those things. Districts need to be reasonably shaped, using natural boundaries and stuff like that, and still they need to be they have to be somewhat competitive. So it's a tough problem. I'm glad I'm not solving it, but your problem should be a little easier to solve. It's just simply moving us to an open primary system. And you were saying like the state of Washington was a good example.
All right, Washington State and California, they both have top two open primary, mm-hmm. which we're trying to replicate here in Florida. Nebraska, since I think the 30s, has had a similar process. And Louisiana has a kind of a hybrid form. They have they have an open general election. Mm-hmm. And then if no one gets 50% of the vote, a majority, they have a mm-hmm. runoff. But the concept is the same. Our motto is let all voters vote.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should, and everybody should vote. But I'm not going to say that. I'm not saying that again for the rest of the show, okay? I promise I won't say it again.
Maybe one more time.
No, I'm not doing it one more time. We do have a vinyl play of the day. One of my favorite songs. I'm guesting today, so I get to pick it. It's one of my favorite songs. It was written in 1969, released in February 1970 on the Bridge Over Troubled Water album by Simon and Garfunkel. So here it is. So long, Frank Lloyd Wright.
So long, Frank Lloyd Wright. I can't believe your song is gone so soon. I barely learned the tune so soon. So soon I'll remember Frank Lloyd Wright. All of the nights we harmonized till I never laughed so long, so long, so long. Architects make a man, architects make a man, never change your point of view.
some Simon and Garfunkel as our vinyl play right there from Tom's personal collection, I believe.
Yeah, that is from my personal collection, and that's a song by one of my favorite groups about one of my favorite architects. There was only ever one Frank Lloyd Wright.
Good stuff.
Are you familiar with any of his stuff, Brandon?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'd have to re-listen to
I'm going to lock you in a room with Professor Odessi for a little bit, and you can learn all about Frank Lloyd Wright.
Just Google Falling Waters.
Beautiful home. Beautiful home.
Probably one of the most well-known.
Probably works. One of the most well-known houses other than like Buckingham Palace. There is. It's a absolutely gorgeous place. And I think was actually designed and drawn in just a few hours when he found out the person he had a contract to design a house for was on their way there plane.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's what the legend goes on that. He apparently had all this stuff already done in his head, and he would just sit at a drawing board and sketch it out real quickly.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing talent. Okay, we're coming up on the end of our hour here, and Steve, give us one more shot at your address and exactly what you need to accomplish soon.
Sure, and thanks again for having me on the show again. Our website is floridafairandopenprimaries.org and has all the information about a top two open primary, has a CRC tab, tells about the CRC and what transpired over the last year, and then the petitions tab, probably the most important for us right now. So we'd appreciate all the listeners to go out and give us a look. We need a lot of signatures. Ultimately, 766,200 by February 2020.
Yes, and this is not one of those things where you can sign off and sign early, sign often. There, you only get to sign once. That's a joke.
Only sign once.
Only sign once, please.
Only sign once.
We always tell people to vote early and vote often, but
you can sign more than once and send it to me. If I don't catch it, the supervisors will.
They surely will. Exactly.
Well, we got more songs and artists coming up in the 10 o'clock hour as well, including some stuff from the Cranberries, some Eagles, and more. Going to round out this 9 o'clock hour with Train and Drops of Jupiter, probably one of my favorite songs of the 2000s, on your local public radio station, WKGC.